because routines can sometimes start to bog you down because you live right. by routine.
It's just like more to do, right?
And so same way with checklists, which is like, that's how I typically like to live my life. But let's just face it, like you write a checklist, not everything's going to get done every day. Right. You have to push it to the next day.
Arise, champion. This is the world famous Steve Weatherford Show, where each week we bring you stories, messages, and guests to create massive breakthroughs in your life. Somebody say greatness! This show has been strategically designed to accelerate you, to thrust you to the next level. Greatness is in you because greatness made you, and we're gonna help you get into the center of God's calling for your life. Arise, champion! Nothing can be denied the one that won't be denied. The question is, how bad do you want it? Turn the speakers up. Call a friend and tell them Steve Weatherford is on.
What's up, guys? This episode is brought to you by my good friend Pure Spectrum CBD. Pure Spectrum CBD is committed to cultivating and crafting the highest quality hemp-derived products and CBD products on the market. They're also the U.S. Olympic sponsor. And I've tried tons of these different products, from the bath salts to the tinctures, and none of them even come close to the pain management, the recovery, and the sleep performance that I've gotten from Pure Spectrum CBD. My deep REM sleep has gone up 28%. By comparison to 13 months ago, and I track it every single day with my Whoop band, I feel more rested, I feel more recovered, and that's what really gives me that edge to run three different businesses, to coach entrepreneurs, to hit the gym like a savage, and still have enough in the tank to really come through powerfully as a husband and as a father. So if you're looking to gain an edge in your day, Pure Spectrum CBD is my go-to choice to perform at my highest level. Visit purespectrumcbd.com today and make sure that you use promo code Weatherford, because that'll get you 10% off of your order at checkout. That's purespectrumcbd.com using promo code Weatherford at checkout. Enjoy the show. All right, guys. Welcome, everybody, to the Steve Weatherford Show. I am here with my wife. Her name is Laura Weatherford, and she is the maker of champions. She is the kingmaker. I'm going to change your license plate to kingmaker. For real. We just had our son three days ago. Tell us a little bit about your son.
He's amazing.
Yep. Tell us more. Be generous.
Be generous.
Yeah. Tell us what you're experiencing. Tell us.
Well, it was a different experience this time.
So for everybody, like, let's assume nobody's listened to our podcast before. They don't know you. They don't know how many kids you have. They don't know anything about us.
Okay, so he's our sixth kid.
Yeah. Come on, talk to me more.
He's our sixth kid, and he's the first one that, like, labor was totally easy. But afterwards, they ended up taking him to the NICU, which I've never experienced it, or I probably would have done things differently. He was really big, and I guess he was, like, breathing a little quickly. Not at first, but like after a couple hours, and never needed oxygen or anything. Like, if they probably would have just given it 30 minutes, he would have been fine. Mm-hmm. But then you have to pass all these protocols for the NICU to be able to get them to come home. So initially they're like, we're just going to monitor him for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But like, when they take him to the NICU, there's no monitoring for 2 hours.
Right.
Like, he's in, and then it's like he has to eat and he has to do all of this stuff before he can be released. And so had I known that, I would have done things differently, but I didn't know because I had never experienced it.
So if you guys are listening right now, my wife, I just asked her to tell us about herself and her son. And the first thing she went to was the unfortunate part of having our son. But that's how she's built. That's how her brain is wired. And it's good because, you know, typically, like, when we go into a situation, my wife is going to see the dangers before you'll see the opportunities. And when I walk into a room, and all I do is see opportunities, I don't typically see dangers. And so we really balance each other out real well. But revamping, if I could tell you my experience of it, it was the most unbelievable thing that I have ever seen. It truly was, because you are 5'7" on your best day.
Right.
And you just had a child come out of your body. This was not a C-section for everybody hearing this. She did have an epidural, but she pushed a baby out of her body that was 2 feet tall. 24 inches, and this kid was 12 pounds and 3 ounces. Babe, when you're not pregnant, you weigh like 118.
Right.
You just pushed a gigantic kid out of your body. And then here's the crazy thing is 23 hours later, she walked out of her hospital room, walked to the car, and we went home 23 hours later. It was one of the most extraordinary things, and that's such an overused word. It was one of the most extraordinary things that I've ever seen. And then to recap, like when the baby came out, and his name is Kingston Kraft Weatherford. We named him after Pastor Keith Kraft. If you guys haven't listened to that podcast episode, it was deluxe. As the baby came out, the doctor goes, "Oh, he's big. Keep pushing." And she only pushed two times. I filmed it on, I had like multiple angles with my GoPro, none of the angles from like down there, but I got a really good view of the doctor and her face and her eyes and the nurse's face and eyes. And as the baby came out, she said, "Oh my gosh, it's a toddler." And then the other nurse goes, "He's got to be at least 11 pounds. And I'm looking at this kid and I've seen you have five. And to recap the five, she had a 9 pound, 9 pound two, 9 pound 10, 10 pounds and 10 pounds five. I added up all those baby weights. My wife, the king maker, the creator of champions, has given birth to 60.3 pounds of child. That's unbelievable.
It's a lot.
Is that unbelievable?
When you think of it like
that. That is crazy. I mean, to me, it's just unbelievable. So, man, I'm just so thankful. I'm in such gratitude. Actually, we should probably pray real quick and let's get into this. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we are sitting here. I'm just having an opportunity to speak your glory. I'm definitely bragging on my wife that she's the kingmaker and the creator of champions, but we know that is you. So we just thank you. We just honor you. We come before you with so much praise and so much gratitude for the new life that you've given us into our home. And I'm just praying and believing that right now in this moment, Holy Spirit, you're going to fill the space that we're recording this podcast. And that you're going to fill the space of every single person that's listening right now that has an opportunity to hear the stories of our life, the life lessons that we've learned, and the things that our children have taught us, the things that you've revealed to us, who have allowed us to take our marriage from a broken place into a place of extraordinary example to other people. Not that we're doing it perfect, but we're putting you first in everything that we do. So we thank you for all the listeners right now. We just pray that they have ears to hear and that you will give us the words to say. We thank you. We love you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So as we're recording this podcast, this is 3 days, actually technically 74 hours since Kingston Kraft has come into this world. And so I'm just real thankful that you're here, babe.
Thanks.
You know, I was bragging on like your physical ability to make kids and to carry kids and deliver kids, which is extraordinary. But I know that this is a portion of your life that you've wanted to keep private, meaning like, you know what? You don't necessarily love to do podcasts and to speak on stages and to help me create different things. But I just want to honor you and thank you for being here, because I believe it's been kind of confirmed to us through the King's Council coaching, because you've come on there to share with that family of choice. And if you guys don't know what King's Council coaching is, it's group coaching that I do with my kingdom partner, Riley Meek. We have several different coaches inside of it, and it's group coaching, legacy leadership, personal development, business development, family blueprint structures, like all of the seasons that I'm walking through in my life and some of the seasons that I'm through, sharing a lot of that and having a lot of my really close friends come on and share their genius, share their gifts with our family of choice. And we meet on Zoom 2 times a week. So if you're interested in that, just slide in my DM or send me a text. But wanted to get back to you and how I believe that there has been so many things that's come up against us. And for those of you guys who are listening to podcasts, I listened to all the episodes, you understand like the last 6 weeks, 8 weeks have been really, really difficult. We moved from San Diego, California, which is like the most beautiful city in the entire world, but it just didn't fit our values and the vision and the legacy that we want to create here on this earth and help grow the kingdom. And our mentor, Pastor Keith Kraft, is here. And so we made that move. And so we're really excited. I think, I don't want to speak for you, with our intention to get here, but the process was so hard. I got shingles. I lost 20 pounds. She was in the last couple weeks of carrying Kingston. We had boxes freaking everywhere. Oh yeah, by the way, we've got 2 businesses and 5 kids, and our dog was potty training.
Oh.
You see, I rattled all that stuff off, and the thing that she was like most bummed about was like the dog. So anyway, babe, I love you. I think you're amazing. I'm so thankful that you were bold to action to allow me to lead our family here. And now we have a Texan. Can I hold him up for the camera?
Just went back to sleep.
That's okay. I want to show him off. He's so big. He's so beautiful. Look at this guy. It's okay. You could even cry. You could even cry a little bit, buddy. Look at this dude. Look at the size of this guy. What a beast. So I'm really, really excited about my son. But because my wife was talking, because he was so big and he was breathing fast, they actually took him pretty much straight to the NICU. I think you got to nurse him and then they went straight to the NICU. Talk to me about what that, because that's the first time you've had, I mean, think about it. You've had six kids and this is the first one that they were really alarmed about. And all of them have been big, but not like
I don't feel like super anyone was alarmed big. Except for the NICU nurse.
Well, talk to me about what that was like. I've been with you for the last 3 days. I feel like I know what it's like for you, but share with them.
It was like almost, one of our friends said it's like soul crushing to like see them in there like that. I've never experienced it. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was just super sad. Like that they're just up into like machines. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing, there's like no one's touching them except for when they eat every 3 hours. They just sit in a plastic bin by themselves. And I just haven't experienced that. My kids sleep with me and on me, you know, from day one. So
that was the first time that you had to sleep alone after giving birth to a baby.
Yeah, it was just weird. It's like, oh yeah, I have a baby. He's not with me. It was just weird.
How good do you feel right now that people it's listening so right now can probably hear baby sounds?
Right. It's great. Now he's with me.
Now he's sleeping. He's happy. How excited were the girls when we got home? So we have four daughters. They're 11, 8, 5, and 3. They've been practicing changing doll diapers for like a month.
They were so excited. They all just sit there and wait their turn right now. The newness, I'm sure, will wear off. But right now, they are excited.
Well, that's actually one of the things that I wrote down for you, because I have a really good idea of, you know, some different leaderships and roles and responsibilities I'd like to shift in the family. But what are you going to do? Because my wife is really kind of like the COO of our family. You know, you're like the person that disperses and oversees the operations of our home financially. You're heavily involved in finances. You're the details guy.
Right.
You know, you're a list maker, you're a researcher, you're a thinker, and I'm more of a bold to action vision person. But I definitely have some holes in my game plan, and I believe that's why God brought you and I together. How will you shift things at home to make sure our home continues to run the way that it does?
Right. So I think that was you bringing that up is something that I am. Like, I can do it in my own life, and it wasn't utilizing perhaps gifts like the way that they could be utilized in our household, because I can do it for myself, and I do it for myself, but I don't really do it in a way that the kids have a part in it. Mm. And so
you take, what I'm hearing you say is you take a lot on yourself.
Right. It's just easier to do it myself. Like, I'll make the list for myself, the things I need to do, but I don't really delegate out well. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you and I actually talked about was going through and even down to like the dog, the dog needs to go on a walk 3 times a day. Who's feeding it? Like making a checklist, and they check it off as they do it. Like, oh, I did it this time. Okay, I did it this time. Okay, I did it this time. Food, check, check. So when anyone goes and looks, it's not like, oh, did anyone feed the dog? Mm-hmm. Ooh, crap. Or did we overfeed the dog? And then for chores and with the baby, like, okay, who's going to be the one that helps mom with Kingston today? Who's going to be the one that helps with this today? Mm-hmm. And actually write it really bold and then have them check it off. The other thing, though, is doing it in excellence, because anything can get done, but doing it in excellence is different.
One thing you said when you walked into our office, because we record, I have an office out from my house, separate from my house. And my wife walked in here today. She goes, whoa. You guys have a lot of whiteboards. And that's one thing, like, I know for you, like, you want our home to like be aesthetic and have feng shui and all of that stuff. But I'm wondering if, I'm putting you on the spot in front of everybody, if you'll allow me to bring some whiteboards into the house so we can start to make things visual for the kids. I mean, there's a reason they call it a vision board, because you can see it.
Right.
You know, I believe if that's something that you allow me to integrate into some area of the house, I can make that a really exciting place, because you can also write down goals and rewards and things like that. And right. It will give me an area to really celebrate the kids. But one of the gifts that my wife has is, I don't know if you guys have ever taken leadership quizzes, but there's this, what is it? Eagle leadership. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Google like Eagle leadership quiz, and there's a quiz that you can take. It's free. It takes like 8 minutes, but they take your answers and they essentially assign an animal to you based upon that. So there's lions, there's turtles, there's camels, and there's monkeys. Lions are really, they're the big vision people. They're the action people. They're like type A type of people. And then you have the monkeys. Monkeys are like people persons. They love groups of crowds. They love relationships. They love fun. And then you have the camel. Camels are list makers, they're researchers, they're thinkers, they're very, very patient. And then you have the turtles. Turtles are very calm, they're very methodical. My son is actually a turtle, and I'm a lion, and my wife is a camel. And one of the reasons I believe that my wife and I have been able to really find more, less of a rhythm and more of a, or less of a routine and more of a rhythm to our life. Like, I believe we're in a season where we're like a lot more in rhythm. Yeah, you know, it did start out with routine, you know, but I believe once you hammer down a routine, and we've been on a great routine with our dating life, you know, like every Friday, it's non-negotiable. We've been doing that. We've been doing a great job of communicating at least for like 5 super intentional minutes per day each. And just to share with you guys, if you missed that podcast episode, we've been coached this way and it works really well for us, but to take 5 minutes at some portion during the day, preferably in the afternoon or evening, late at nights when you're too tired, and just ask your partner, what were your highs, what were your lows, and what were your buffaloes? And that's been that allows my wife to share, like, what was the highlight of your day? Man, right. What was the part of your day that sucked? And then the buffalo would be like, what was the thing that happened that you didn't see coming? So maybe speak on that. I know I'm kind of jumping around a little bit, but I don't get you on here very often. And I believe that's a practice that you and I do that has allowed us to be in much more of a rhythm than a routine.
I think because routines can sometimes start to bog you down because you live by routine.
It's just like more to do, right?
And so same way with checklists, which is like, that's how I typically like to live my life. But let's just face it, like you write a checklist, not everything's going to get done every day. Right. You have to push it to the next day. Living in rhythm over that is significantly better. And doing the highs, lows, and buffaloes allows you to know like, okay, I might not be able to call him right now because he's on a call or he's working, but I'm going to have my time to be able to share each and every like aspect of it. Mm. And keeping it short and sweet is not in-depth conversation. So it's not like, okay, we're now going to discuss this for an hour. Those we also have been coached to like do set those up in a routine like schedule, because if you don't, if someone's not at in a place to listen, it doesn't usually end up going well.
Right. And it's also, I've noticed, if I can share from my standpoint of when you give it back to me, because I typically, because I view myself as the leader in the home, I'm always the person that says, hey, you have time to talk. What were your highs, lows, and buffaloes? And that's the important thing also, is when you're doing this with your partner, is to ask them like, hey, do you have time to talk, or would you be willing to talk? Don't just like walk in and be like, what are your highs, lows, and buffaloes? Because they might be tasking. And I'm not a person that can do a task well and listen. And so that's really important. First step is like, hey, do you have 5 minutes? Then once they say yes, then to ask them the highs, lows, and buffaloes. And the thing that's worked really well for me is I'll ask you first, and it just gives me an opportunity to not just give her 5 minutes, but to continue asking questions when she says, this was the best part of my day, you know, to be able to have a follow-up to like, well, what about it was awesome, you know, and just let them talk. And it just gives you, I've noticed it gives you an opportunity to have an adult conversation. You know what I mean? Like you're talking to kids all day. And then when I ask you another question about your day or something that was great about it, I try to ask more follow-up questions for the good part of your day than the bad part of your day, because I want to cheer you up. And I like, I want to recondition you to think about the great things in life, because your default is to see the danger and to kind of like focus on that. So there's a little tip for you guys. And then for me, when I get a chance to share, it allows me to bring her into my world, because a lot of the highlights or lowlights of my day are typically going to be like work involved, you know, like, oh man, you know, on Mighty 300, we only had like 119 guys this week. And last week we had 256, you know, like that would be a low light for me. But unless I have that 5 minutes to share that with her, she has no idea what's going on with the passion projects in my life, like the areas of my life where I just give to it. And, you know, there's not necessarily like a tangible ROI. And Mighty 300 would be a good example of that. If you guys don't know what that is, that's our Monday morning motivational devotional that we host on a private Zoom with my son, does it with me. We've been doing that for a little bit over a year. Super proud of it. So yes. So talk to me. So what we decided to call this show before we actually started going was pushes, plans, and promises. And the pushes was in regards to the fact that my wife pushed 2 times and over 12 pounds of Perfection came out, man. I love him. But talk to me about the plans portion of this podcast, because once we had Ace, like when you and I were dating, I started dating her when I was 19. I met her when I was 17. We started dating when I was 19, and we've been together ever since. But almost 20 years. It's crazy. I'm going to be 39 in December. When we first started dating, like it was, I think, 6 months before I told you I loved you and like I knew I was going to marry you. We started talking about kids like well before we were even together for a year. And we always had very clear, very aligned vision of having four boys.
Right. We had like all of their names picked out.
Yeah. So talk to me about that. We haven't talked about this in a long time.
Steve's from a lot of boys. I'm from all sisters. I don't know if it's because I'm from all sisters, like all girls in my family, that I liked boys, but
you're a tougher person. You're not an emotional person or right. a sensitive person.
I feel like I relate a little bit better. Even like when I was in high school, most of my friends were boys.
Yeah.
So like anyone that meets me is like, oh yeah, you're a boy mom. Mm-hmm. But I have four daughters and I love them and I love dressing them. Mm-hmm. Like a lot. And but my plan,
you're not for drama though.
No, I'm not a drama person, but like
you're saying my plan and I interrupted you. Sorry.
My original plan when we thought about it was we'd have all these boys and then we had Ace. And so like, I didn't think anything. Oh yeah, I'll just keep having boys. Well, I didn't. And so but it was on my heart, like so heavy. Like I didn't know why, like I was supposed to have another boy. And there were people that were like, that's just silly. Like, you're just being like superficial. You shouldn't care.
And did you have like a little bit of guilt and shame?
I had total guilt and shame of it because I love my daughters. Like, they're so amazing.
If we didn't have those girls, dude, I'd be so bummed.
Like, I would never change the fact that I have all of my daughters ever. Like, I need
them though.
And I don't want anyone to ever think that. It's just like when you say plans, like, it wasn't my plan. It doesn't mean it wasn't the perfect plan for God, but it wasn't the plan I had in my head. And so I remember praying one night. I was putting Goldie down to sleep. She was probably two. And I was laying there and I'm just like, God, like, why is it still in my heart? Like, I have five amazing kids. Like, I actually don't even want to have another baby. Like, I'm happy. Like, I don't feel like going and starting over. But like, I know like it's just so heavy on me. And it has been like, and I've said that to people throughout the years. And he was like, because I knew if I gave it to you, you wouldn't have the girls that you have. And he's like, I have a plan for those girls that are so special. And if I had given you three boys, I wouldn't have, like, you wouldn't have those girls. And that's what I wanted for you. And that's what I wanted for your family. And they're special. And so, but you're going to have a boy. And I'm like, ugh, okay. And so also when I had him, wasn't planning on having a baby.
I was.
Obviously, but I was not. And so I like freaked out and was like, no, I didn't plan this right. Like, this isn't the way I wanted it. Like, I'm not supposed to, what if it's not the right time?
Your boy is firing live rounds.
So
I'm like a sniper.
Everyone knows.
One shot, one kill. I don't need a machine gun, man.
Everyone can see that. We found out it was a boy and I literally was like shaking. I'm like, I cannot believe that it's a boy, but I did. Like, I actually.
You were shaking.
I was shaking. I was like, I was at a point where I'm like, okay, I know I'm supposed to have this boy. Don't know why. And I'll just make sure I have a boy. Like, I'll go get in vitro or something so that I can make sure I have a boy, mm-hmm. which looking back on it is insane. But at the time, it felt like
you wanted it that bad, though.
Felt completely normal at the time.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think it's like wrong.
I don't think it's wrong. I mean, I think that if it works in for you, or let's say all the people that maybe can't have babies naturally.
And when I say wrong, I mean like gender selection, like making sure that you get that boy. I don't think that's wrong. But it kind of like to me,
that's
we didn't have trouble getting pregnant.
Right.
And like, I want what God wants me to have. Because that's going to be like, that's what's going to fulfill us is like not having what we want, but having what we need. And God mm-hmm. will always give you what you need. Did you ever lose faith that like, you were going to have that boy that you like felt like heavy on your heart, like you need to have this boy?
Well, yeah, because every time I was like, I'm done. I'm not going to have any more. And yeah, so I was just kind of like, okay. And then after Goldie, you and I really didn't know if we would ever have another one. It was just we were not in a good place. I was like, this is it. So like,
share with them what we did the day we had her.
Oh, man.
we went.
No, that's derailing. That's a totally different story.
No, but I just like that's how just. Quickly, I'll tell you guys real fast.
No, I'll do it. There's nothing fast about your stories. So we had gone to marriage counseling because we were in a really bad place. And like we were fighting on the way home from marriage counseling because I don't know if anyone has like gone there. I'm sure most of like some of you have, but it actually stirs stuff up sometimes and you end up like getting more upset afterwards. And so we're sitting in the car. He had driven separately and we were like fighting in the car. And I'm like having contractions every 2 minutes. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm sorry to cut this short, but I have to go to the hospital. Like, you can come if you want. If not, like I can handle it.
That's how bad it was. Yeah.
And he came, but like we didn't even like speak really in the delivery room. And we go home the next day and we're walking into the house and he's like, well, enjoy bringing a baby home. It's the last time you're going to do it. And I just remember being like, whoa, what a dickhead thing to say. Like that was so mean.
It was really harsh.
And
I'm not proud of it.
So I definitely didn't think I was, I mean, and Goldie, anyone who has seen her, she's perfection. But and at that point, like I really didn't even think about a boy. Like I was just, she was so, so amazing. So anyway, but that's where we were. So no, I lost faith because of that. And also like, you know, I think my relationship with like, I'd always believed in God. I always prayed. Like I always had that going for me as far as like I was raised that way. But the ultimate faith factor, I did have it again before I got pregnant with him, but it was not for very long. Like I had just really started getting intentional with like, okay, if I'm going to do this, of course, planned out, like I'm going to pray for this amount of time. I'm going to do this.
You make your list.
I'm going to fast. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to make sure this is done. I'm going to utilize every, like all of this research that God has given me to make sure that I'm doing this correctly. And yeah. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. The plan didn't. I mean, I had no plan. I had no plan. I had no plan to have him when I did. And then he had his own agenda.
Right. So also talking about how you've been more willing to share our relationship and share kind of like the other side of our life on King's Counsel. But we're also going to do a YouTube channel. Talk about
yes.
that.
Yes. Well, about that. It's just really, really documenting more your life.
Right. But I mean, you're kind of a big part right. of my life. I'm with you most of the day.
I'm not very good at being open with sharing the inside details of my life. And I'm becoming more open to that, mainly because I know that there's learning lessons everywhere. And so I, even like with the NICU, I learned something yesterday. Like I didn't have to let him go. Like I could have kept him home. Like I've learned those things. So if I can share the stuff that I've been through and be able to support someone so they don't have to go through it, or even something that's great that I can be like, oh yeah, this is amazing, and help their life, I think that that's
one other component of our life that I think will be really cool to share also, because people have been able to see who I was and then, you know, the transformation God has done in me in the last couple of years, you know, 2 years really, 3 years at tops. But to be able to share things like we share on King's Counsel, one of the things you shared was the fact that like we'd been together for like 19 years and you were still uncomfortable to pray for me, you know? I mean, I think that kind of like shocked a lot of people, but also in the King's Counsel also kind of drew them in to be like, oh, like they're both not like, you know, crazy, throw your hands up in the air for Jesus type. Like she's on the same path. They're both valuing God the same way, but I just assumed that she was going to be like crazy on fire like him. And I think to show that component of your walk, my walk, where I struggle, because I've noticed, you know, as a speaker and as a coach that, man, some of the things that actually motivate people the most is when they hear like the things I suck at, or the, you know, the things in my past that were really bad, or the addictions that I've had. They can actually connect to that a whole lot more than they can connect with like the cool things that I've done, or like the prowesses that I have. I'm really excited to be able to share that part of it. But the YouTube channel in general is going to be, you know, pretty much our life, you know, the different things that we do together as a family, and not just following around like vlog style. We have vision to be able to share and have very intentional and strategic takeaways that entrepreneurs can integrate into their businesses, that coaches can integrate into the people that they're coaching, families, you know, from a leadership standpoint, like what is the leadership dynamic in our home and when do I let you lead and then when do you let me lead? And, you know, when we have a disagreement, how do we resolve that type of thing? Those are all the things I really want to center this thing around, like what I wish I had 10 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, right. I mean, we've been together, like you said, almost 20 years. What if we knew then what we know now? Like that, to me, that's the most valuable content. I believe you and I coming into an agreement and an alignment to something, my intent is to be to other people what I wish I had 10 years ago, whether that's fitness, whether that's business, whether that's, you know, how to get into like a rhythm.
They're going to be able to learn all that stuff. So if you want fitness, that's going to be there too.
Right. That's what I mean. Yeah. I'm sharing. I want to share all of that stuff. And also, I want to share like your journey too, because you're about to tune it up. Talk about that.
It's a tune-up time. I have to.
Are we pretty sure that this is our last one?
Yes. Yeah. That's
perfect. I'm totally in alignment with that. So that means
That was pretty traumatic.
You can probably go get those surgeries that you wanted to get.
Oh my gosh! For anyone that's had a lot of kids, your abs like bust out. I don't know. Like no one tells you that. No one told me that.
Well, I mean.
After I had Goldie, and then they're like, oh yeah, you have to get that ish and back together. That's never going back together. Even like personal trainers, all of our friends, like Pilates, yoga, like all these people that are like, oh, we can fix anybody's whatever. They saw mine. They're like, yeah.
They saw your stomach muscles and they're like, yeah.
They're like, yeah, that's going to have to be
beyond repair.
That's going to have to be sewn back together. Well, I have like a hernia and stuff. Like,
so we can probably schedule that ab surgery pretty soon.
Probably. I don't know how that works. Left X.
Yeah, that'll be cool to explore. And then
we're getting a Nordic Trek.
Yeah, we got a Nordic Trek. Which model did we get?
I don't know.
But how big's the TV?
I think Phyllis said it's 32 inches.
32 inch TV on her Nordic Trek. Man, she's pumped about that.
I'm so pumped.
We were going to get the Peloton, but then we saw a kid died on it or something.
It got recalled.
I don't know. And so
we have a lot of kids. We need something.
And so the Nordic Trek one looks amazing. We actually should be getting it pretty soon. So
yeah.
That's going to be, I hate saying it, but that's what she wanted for her push present.
I asked for it though, guys. Yeah, I wasn't like.
So Nordic Trek, we love you. Hurry up and get here already. And then also I'm going to take you shopping. You deserve. I thought that push present was going to be good because those suckers are expensive. But then I saw how big that child was and I was like, man, we need to go shopping. So I'm going to take her shopping too.
Big part of it for me.
Could you talk about Ace real quick?
Oh, man.
Talk about that kid, man.
It was like a light switch. I don't know.
Two weeks ago, right?
Yeah. And all of a sudden he like came home. He's like, Mom, I need to go on 2 days. And then yesterday I came home. He's like, so what? You can start running in like a month? And I was like, yeah, probably. He's like, okay, yeah, I'll run with you.
He's so self-motivated.
So self-motivated. Something we've honestly prayed for a long time.
A long time.
He's an amazing kid. Like just heart of gold, like friendly, kind,
generous.
Oh, just like
everything you hope your son would be.
Polite. Like you couldn't ask for you really could not ask for a better child than him.
I agree.
But
I love him.
He tended to be a little on the lazy end.
Yeah, just very passive, you know, just like
bare minimum.
Yeah.
A bare minimum, like but good enough type of person.
How impressed are you? This is week 98 of Man Academy.
Yeah.
Did you ever think it would last this long?
No, and the funny thing is he did it. I think starting out of like obligation, like he did it. And now it was
highly encouraged, but I told him like anytime you don't want to go,
but he committed to it and he knew that he said he committed to it. So he was going to do it even when he didn't really want to.
He has really learned how to be his word at a young age.
But now it's not like he never complains about it. He's the one that's like, are we working out? What are we working out? Like he's the one who's super stoked about it now. And I do think it's good time for you and him. So like he values good that time.
Man, it's my favorite part of the day.
Right. Values that time that it's just you guys. And then you'll bring Tevin and you'll bring other people. And he like, it's fun. It's like bro time that he doesn't, you know, he doesn't have a brother that's close to his age. So it's fun for him. But yeah, huge shift in how he's been. He wants to eat healthy. He's like, oh no, Mom, I can't eat cookies. I can't eat ice cream. That's not on my diet.
We just ordered $250 worth of Icon Meals. Icon Meals is like a meal food prep company. And they're actually here in Frisco, Texas. Their CEO, Todd Abrams, is a buddy of mine. Known him for years. And we ordered them out to California. And they were really good. But Ace wasn't willing to.
He wouldn't even try him.
Yeah, he wouldn't even try him. And so we got out here to Frisco.
He's kind of a picky eater, guys.
Yeah, and so I'm on a new, the last podcast episode, I talked to you guys about my goal for the next 120 days because I feel like my whole physical body just got wrecked during the move. Yeah. And shingles.
Well, I think that your immune system definitely was shot. And so it's just
and
like,
now my back is hurting me. And I think it's like inflammation related. And I spent a lot of time in bed over that month. So Ace and I are going to be eating like at least 75% of our meals from Icon Meals. So if you guys haven't checked that out, go to, I think it's iconmeals.com. We'll put the link in the show notes. And Todd gave me, if you guys use my last name, Weatherford, you'll get a discount also. But we're pumped about those meals. I've been eating them for the last three days now.
Ace has been eating them too. And so if my very picky 13-year-old can eat them, anyone can eat them. That's the truth.
That is the truth, man. Because this dude really, is a junk food lover.
He like wants Takis and Oreos. Like that's
he's so hood, man. He loves the Takis.
And Oreos. I don't even know who introduced him to Takis, but Takis and Oreos.
I did. It was my fault.
Ew, I've never even eaten a Taki.
But he loves Doritos. I'm like, dude, if you like Doritos, get some Takis. I didn't think that he was going to like ask for them every time we go to the
store. That's what his tutor gets him for his birthday, like bags of Takis and hot tamales. Dude,
hey, so listen, if anybody's listening to this, reach out to Takis for us. We need a Taki sponsor for Ace. And then lastly, one other thing that we're going to make a part of Mama's, I don't want to call it a transformation, but comeback, man. This is your comeback.
Oh, man.
Because Mama's body, it's amazing right now. Don't get me wrong. She walked out of the hospital after having the kid.
Dude, I got.
But when you were in college, your waist was about 18 inches around. But I believe once you get that thing, once you get your abs sewn back together, but part of that, and you actually experienced, do you mind talking about like how blue and depressed you were the last 2 days? And I know a lot of it was related to, like, obviously you can't be with your son and he's in the NICU, but from a hormonal standpoint, are you comfortable talking and sharing about that? Because I know you're still kind of in it a little bit.
So anybody that, you know, you spent all these months, like your hormones go up and up and up and up and up, and then you have a baby and they like drop. Mm-hmm. And for ladies that are going to labor, you know, like when you're at 10 centimeters and you're about to, your body starts to like shake because your hormone levels are like at, like crazy. And then like at night, I'll wake up in the middle of the night right now and my whole body's like shaking. And it's because my hormone levels are like changing so rapidly. But oh yeah, like I woke up the other day and I was just like crying. And then he has.
What do you mean the other day? It was yesterday.
Yesterday. It's felt like.
And you woke up this morning shaking, right?
Yeah, I woke up this morning shaking. And he has this like. He was must have been laying. He was so big that he was like laying on my pelvis, like my pelvic bone, and he had like a bruise on his face. And I like flipped out that this kid had a bruise on his face. Like
she thought it was like a massive birthmark.
I was like deformed, crying, and the doctors are like, "No, it's fading already, and it's a bruise." And I'm like, every single doctor that saw him was like, "It's a bruise. It's gonna go away." And I was like crying about it. It was so ridiculous. And anyway, that's what happens sometimes, you know. Well, give yourself grace. And I mean, we did immediately call my doctor and tell him because.
How did you feel like I handled the situation?
You handled it well. I really liked my doctor.
No, honestly, I'm looking for positive and negative feedback from you.
You did really good because you could tell like I wasn't doing well. And you were like, can I text Dr. Garner and see what he says? And I was like, yes. So you didn't like overstep, but you handled it. And like even trying to get him out of the NICU, you handled it and you just like text Dr. Garner and it was like, what can we do? Like, where are we at? And he went and followed up. And I believe that like him pushing allowed everything to move faster. So you handled it really well.
You felt love supported, seen and heard.
Yeah, you knew I was not in a good place. And you're like, okay, I'm going to do what I can to.
Yeah, but sometimes when forward. I know when you're in a good spot, I still don't handle it well.
No, I know. But like, I just.
It's delicate.
I was not. I'm sure I'm still not. But at least he's home. And so I can focus in on something other than looking up things on my phone. Which,
yeah, that's a dark hole, man. When she's talking about looking up things on her phone, she'll start looking up like port wine. What were they called?
Port wine birthday. Just so she's you know, up, like, anybody that
terrible
knows.
Neurological
no,
diseases.
No, no, no. Well, anyone who gets them, only 6% of people that get them would have this neurological thing. And just so everyone also knows, it's not life threatening. So it's it's not that big of a deal. But only 6% of people that even have them would have that. But I'll sit there and I'll focus on that. Like, oh. Not the 94% chance, but like then at the end of the day, like it doesn't matter. It's not even that. But like I would sit there on my phone for like an hour at a time looking stuff up, trying to prove or disprove. It was so ridiculous. And I know it. But just so anyone that gets there, like if you get to that, it doesn't have to be something like that. But I know for myself, if I get fixated on something and I cannot let it go, even though I know it's not right, like I know that like in my head,
what I'm thinking is irrational, but I cannot stop it. That's my cue. Like, okay, I've learned over time, like, you're not, this isn't right. Something's not right. And you need to seek out support because like you're not in a good place.
But even when you're in that place, and I'll like be the voice of reason and reality for you, like it still a lot of times doesn't make it much better. It's almost kind of like I've noticed that I need to get your mind busy on something else.
Yeah. You have to move. You have to be able
I like it's a brick wall for whatever reason. You can't convince yourself of it or you won't receive the truth.
Yeah.
And so I've noticed the best recourse is for me to get your mind busy on something else. But the reason I mentioned that, babe, is because one of the things that Laura and I are going to do probably, we'll probably wait another probably week to let your hormones regulate back out. But then we'll go to LabCorp and we'll get a blood profile for her. And we'll send it to transcendcompany.com. If you guys haven't listened to the podcast we did with Transcend, it's a company that I use for HRT. And if you're not familiar with HRT, HRT is hormone replacement therapy. So as we grow older, our body's going to make less of the hormones that we need to be our best. And it's an anti-aging clinic. But the coolest thing about it is all you have to do is get your blood done, which takes 7 minutes. And it's all licensed healthcare professionals. They're a telehealth provider. So once you send your blood off, they'll call you back in like 24 hours later. A doctor will call you on the phone and tell you what you're toxic in, what you're deficient in. He will prescribe options for you. And with that information, you can sleep more effectively. You can live more effectively by giving your body exactly what it needs. So that's one of the things we're doing with Mama. I've been doing it for about a year and a half now, and just every area of your life is better. Your moods are better. Your performance is better. Your energy is better. Your inflammation is lower. Brain function, memory, all of that stuff. So if you guys want more information on that, I believe it's transcendcompany.com. And we'll actually put the link in the show notes for you guys to go check that out. But man, I'm telling you what, if you're anywhere from 26 years old on up, and even some of you 23 and 24 year olds, man, you guys might be low in some areas that will absolutely surprise you. So absolutely worth doing it if you guys are looking to optimize your life, your health, anti-aging, et cetera. They also have hair loss treatments and ED and a whole bunch of stuff that I ain't got no problem with right now. But if you guys do, if that's your thing, go check it out. Babe, it's been 42 minutes that you've been able to be here with me. I love you. I thank you so much for bringing this beautiful son into the world. He's so big and beautiful and strong. And I'm just thankful I get to do life with you. And then you give me presents like this too. Yeah. I love you. You're love amazing. You. Anything else that you want to say to any of the men, women, go-getters out there?
Nope. We're good. I think you've got it, babe.
All right. I love you guys. I'll see you guys next week. And this has been episode, I think, like 121, Pushes, Plans, and Promises. Over and out. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Steve Weatherford Show. If you love what you heard today and you believe that God has a calling on your life, I want you to do something for me. I want you to share this episode with your friends and your family. And I want you to also make sure that you're following me on social media at Weatherford5 for a behind-the-scenes look at my life, my family, and my work. And remember, champion, greatness is in you because greatness made you. I'll see you next time.